Well, this is indeed a treat to be here. As some of you know, I've been at some of the Eucharists there in the last couple of years when I haven't had other commitments, and enjoy being with the community of St. James. And as I was reflecting on the readings today, on this Pentecost, I was thinking in my own why I came here from after so many years in Latin America, and found a Pentecost parish in that sense, a parish committed to unity and diversity and subjectivity in a sense of feeling to be co-creators with God of a society more just and more human, respecting the dignity of each. And so I thought I'd just share something in my own life along that line, and then referring certainly to the readings that enlighten our life. We don't get the presence of God in the Bible as much as we get in our life enlightened by the Bible. And so the unity, I was, as I said, 44 years in Latin America, a great deal of time in Chile, 22 years, and 17 of those years were under the dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet, a very violent and military government, and the people lived all that time, at least the people with whom I lived in fear. And it was at the end of the 17 years there that they began to protest. And to the credit of the Chilean people, they overthrew a dictator peacefully. And but they began these protests every month. And I was living in a very poor barrio, Santa Monica in Santiago. And I moved on from there. But among those people, the most intimate relationship was that of a neighbor. When they called you a neighbor, a vecino, that was the most intimate way of relating to one another. And vecindad, of course, is a neighborhood. So vecino. So I had left that barrio, and for several years I had gone to Bolivia, where I worked for 13 years. But I came back to Bolivia, to that same barrio where I lived, and I walked into that little dirt road in there. And one of the fellows came out and saw me, and he said, "Vecino Tomás." And the woman that had drove me over there, he said, "Well, how do you remember Vecino Tomás?" "Por las protestas." It was a way for me, once again, of unity, of being in communion with the people. It wasn't that I led the protest at all, but the people led the protest, but I accompanied them. It was what we call an accompaniment of empowerment, of helping them appreciate the power within them to struggle for their own dignity and for their own worth. And that's what, to me, is the source of unity, the source of communion, is feeling that presence of the worthiness of each other and respect for each other. And that's in the first reading then. The tongues of fire touched each person. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages. All were filled. And that, you know, was one of the real breakthroughs for the Vatican II. I'm a product of I graduated from high school in 56 and college 60, Catholic education. So I was all pre-Vatican II. And so the big breakthrough of Vatican II was the gospel, the Holy Spirit works not just through the bishops, but through everyone, every single person here, and believers and non-believers, the Spirit was alive and working. And that's a big breakthrough. So it's a call to unity. And I sensed that when I first came here to St. James and I got my little name tag and I was able to feel, once again, respected. And I saw other people and I could recognize their names, and Virginia and David and George and Alfred and Dan and Darren. So it was kind of neat to feel a part of that. And you know, I'm glad they played the Alleluia before, because you just feel the rhythm, you know, the jazz music, and it's just everyone's swinging, you know, with all you feel that togetherness and that unity. And that's, I think, a real characteristic which I have enjoyed here in St. James. So the second thought is that on diversity, the diversity. I started out in Guatemala, that was in Chile, and then in Bolivia, living many times with native people, with the Mayan in Central America, and then the Mapuche in Chile, and then Aymara and Quechua in Bolivia. But when I started out, I had a wonderful experience in Guatemala and going to a very remote village in Huehuetenango, which was our Mary Knowles work up there. And I was walking out to a village that was celebrating their fiesta. And the fiesta in many of the villages is a time when you do all the sacraments, all the baptisms, the confirmations, the confessions, the first communions, and the marriages, and so forth and so on. So I started out with the confessions, and after a while, a young native woman comes in with her baby on her back. And she knelt down, and I was so astounded by the trust that she had in me. She knelt down right in front of me, put her head on my chest, which left the baby right at my face, who became fascinated with my mustache. So here I was in this powerful moment of sacrament of this woman hearing my heart pounding and the child playing with my face and my beard. But it was, once again, having learned so much from people who were so different from me. And that comes out in the second reading when, once again, Paul talks about the diversity. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. We all have different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are all different workings, but the same God produces all of them in everyone. And so, once again, diversity is what generates faith and generates all of us to be faithful disciples, missionary disciples of Jesus Christ. And just looking at the banners up there, this is certainly a parish of diversity. And I remember walking in with one of our seminarians from Kenya, and I said, I really appreciate the diversity in the community. And said, that was the first thing I noticed when I walked into the community was the diversity. And I think that's a tremendous credit to St. James, once again, is the ability, once again, to appreciate the wealth and the wisdom and the worth of each and every person. And then finally, the idea of subjectivity, and subjectivity in the sense that you act on your faith. We're not spectators in life. We're co-creators with God in creating an environment of a more human and dignified life. And as I'll go back to the last example, when I was back in Chile and under the dictatorship, and one of the most terrifying times was when the military would surround your barrio, and they would go house to house, taking the men out of the barrio and put them all in the field together, and then picking out certain people that were supposedly considered subversive. And many of them were taken away, and a good number of them, you never saw them again. So it was a time of great fear for the people. So a few of us, along with some Chilean priests, the Chilean church was really a model of solidarity with the poor and the oppressed. And so several Chilean priests asked us to join them, a group of sisters and priests. So anytime we heard about a barrio being searched, we were alerted and we would go there ourselves and surround that and pray outside and sing hymns so that the people inside knew we were there, that they weren't alone in their struggle and their fear. And if some of them were taken away, we would follow that bus or that police car or wherever and know where those people were taken and alerted the church. The church had a whole series of lawyers on call to attend anybody that was arrested like that. So it was a wonderful experience. So once again, the gospel certainly highlights that when Jesus says to each and every one of us, as the Father has sent me, I send you. I send you. We're sent. We're sent to do something. We're sent to live out, and be witnesses to the love and compassion of Jesus Christ in the world. So, and I do see that. I know that the pantry here, the food pantry, is one of the largest in Chicago. It shows us certainly a definite concern for the poor, for the homeless, for the hungry. And I know that there's reflections on the whole program of Alpha, which is helping the parish become from self-preservation to a missionary parish outreach. And as Pope Francis says so often, that we should be like a battlefield hospital out there where the wounded and the suffering are taking place, a battlefield hospital. And I think that that's certainly what I sense that desire here in St. James. So for me, St. James is definitely a Pentecost parish. Amen.